Welcome to the J3 University Podcast. I'm your host, John Jewett.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Miller.
Our mission is to elevate the physique coaching standard
and deliver the highest level of competitors to the stage.
Let's jump into today's episode. Four coaches you should fire today. Who are they? Can you already think off the top of your head what coaches you have in your life? And maybe there's multiple and you're just this cheating polygamist athlete with multiple coaches where you should only be in this monogamous relationship with a single coach. Well, anyway, we're going to dive into all these coaches that you probably have, or maybe Luke and I have had in our past as well, going through our exes. And we'll cross off probably four that really stand out that are going to make you a better athlete, competitor, improve your relationship with your current coach, stop all this infidelity that you're having. And we'll show you what to actually do at the end for some good takeaway points. So, Luke, who is your number one coach that you should probably fire today?
Well, before we get into that, I'm starting to think we need like commitment rings, you know, promise rings for coach to client as a part of the onboarding process. I think this would further drive the point home. So we might be adding promise rings to the onboarding process here, but I think it's the boyfriend / girlfriend coach in the situation that I think is the number one that raises red flags. And it's such a hard one to stay removed from if like your significant other is being coached by someone else, because they're always like asking your opinion of like, where do you think I'm at or whatever that may be. And I think it's the best one to dive into straight out the gate, because I think it's A, the most common, and then I think it's B, the one that causes the most issues within the coaching dynamic.
When I was coaching you, would you ask for Emily's input?
Not at all. But she didn't care. Like, it was different. Like, I think you see it more typically when the girl is being coached by someone else and the guy has input from like a protective mechanism over the female athlete. I would ask Emily like if she thought I was making progress, but like once in a blue moon, like maybe twice a year. It wasn't every other week or anything along those lines.
So she stayed as your hype woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
The hype wife. Yeah.
We were so good about the boundaries within that too. It was, and that's why coaching her worked. Like, cause you know, I coached her, which we'll talk about. Maybe that might be one that we should avoid. But I think it's just about boundaries, right? A lot of times it's knowing where that role is in the relationship, and 9 times out of 10, it's support, hype. How can I make this easier on you?
Yeah, I think you're right. When it's more problematic is like when everyone knows enough to be dangerous, right? Like you're the spouse or boyfriend or whatever that's coaching other people, and you have a pretty decent like knowledge base, and then you have someone else that's coaching that. And we realize there is more ways to get to stage, and we have different approaches. So if you come across one where your wife is having some protocol put at her, whatever it may be, training or whatever, and you don't quite agree with, and to bite your tongue, I think you have that boundaries a little bit lower than say with some other client or someone out in public that you come across where you might just be a little quicker to give your opinion around that. But what do you do to your spouse then? You put doubt in their mind, like about following their plan, and a little less buy-in with that coaching process. So, and then it comes a question like, does she make the change or he make the change that the boyfriends make, you know, just suggesting do, or and not implement the coach's change.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I think really kind of, and I guess this would be a question I would want to ask you, is how do you combat or entertain ideas that are thrown at you within the check-in process? Because at some point when you're in that situation, an opinion is going to be shared across a contest prep. And I'm curious to hear how you combat it, because there's a few different ways I go about it, but I just know the way your mannerisms are. Like, are you pretty quick to shut that down and be like, hey, or do you actually walk through like a logical process of like a little bit longer winded, like proof in the pudding type thing?
So I'm all curious to know what your assumptions are about how I would go about it. But, I mean, I'm pretty laid back in the whole process, and we're both educators at heart. So yeah. I think a lot of knee jerk reactions from any coaches that are out there that get that is the defensive, and to just try to shut it down and be a little bit aggressive because you feel like you're getting challenged, and rightfully so, you are getting challenged, but you in the coaching authoritative role should feel confident in that and also confident in your abilities, right? So if you are getting challenged, explain them, you know, create the logical argument that's just kind of undeniable, because some of these other responses you're getting back are from an emotional basis or maybe a naive, you know, bias towards a way of doing something where it's a spot for you to educate, but you also don't want to shut it down because then you're going to make an offense on the other end. And so you need to have the emotional maturity as a coach to not take it there, because now no one's going to win. So truly, like the boyfriend or spouse that has their own opinion and you have yours, we're all trying to do the same thing here of like get girlfriend, wife, or whoever to stage to win. So it should be a collaborative effort, and you might have to build a little bit more of that trust relationship and maybe even talk to that spouse to where they have the buy-in with you. But I think just for one, don't shut it down. Mm-hmm. Make the argument for what you're doing and bring a case. Oh, you used this in the past. Well, that's really helpful information. I would love to trial this going forward. Could we do that? And then keep that in the back of your mind. If this works, excellent. If not, well, we'll have this other approach to utilize. That way you leave it open, like, oh, okay, this guy's very open. And you're also find yourself being confident in that coaching education role. So don't shut it down. If you don't have a good logic, well, then maybe reevaluate, or maybe you are open to utilizing something that you just didn't even know that they had discussions in the past that they didn't bring forward to you. Would you agree on that? Or do you find in cases it needs to get shut down faster?
It depends on how far they step across the line. If it's something where they actually suggest change and the client makes change without communicating to you, that's where I step in and shut it down really quickly. But if it's a sharing of opinion, I kind of default. And the reason I say I think I know how you do it is because I do it in what I think would be a very similar way. I remove all art of coaching and I go straight to the data, and I try to show the streamline of data across a longer term. Because typically what's happening in that situation is there's some emotional status that's changing, or potentially fatigue's a bit higher, or maybe there's something that's changing the dynamic of the relationship within the household that may be prompting the desire to share an opinion. And so most people just want to know that you were paying attention. And so laying out, like you said, the logic as to why the decision-making is being made, but then backing that with the data of the weight trend, maybe relative to the rate of loss that you need to run for the prep, and trying to be solely built on like that data, a lot of times I see just gets received so much better, especially depending on what the suggestion is. If what their suggestion is a viable tool to use during prep, but maybe just not the right time, that data stream then shows them, hey, like, yeah, that's a great idea. We will probably use that. But, you know, this data stream kind of shows that right now might not be the right time to do XYZ. So I try to remove all art of coaching emotion attachment things and just strictly operate off data.
Yeah, I realize too, like if you've ever coached a significant other, that's where you see like the most aggressive like approaches that they wouldn't do even with their own clients take place. Because if you're coaching yourself, you're almost okay taking more risk and being like a bit more of a guinea pig. Some people do that with their spouse as well. So if you come across being the very reserved coach, you might have someone be like, no, we need to get more aggressive. You should add this and that in. And when it shouldn't be there. So it's just something to be ready for when you are. Because I've seen plans that come to me when, oh yeah, my boyfriend's been coaching me. I'm looking for like another coach now. And the plans that I see, it's like, whoa, like I can't believe y'all were doing this. So it's something where you can have the boyfriend or girlfriend being pretty aggressive.
I think the default here is just always be an educator, right? Like provide logic and involve everyone. I do this a lot with my female clients. Like during peak week, when I switch over to a WhatsApp, I actually include the significant other in that conversation so that it's, they can actually see like what's being changed in that process, and they can also help with executing on it and stuff like that. So everybody wants to be included. I think that's the big thing. And just the reason I say this is because them being bought in to the athlete coaching with you lowers the stress within the relationship and allows your coaching decisions to actually take impact a little bit better. And you're not managing like a poor dynamic between significant other and the coach. And you're more so being inclusive, but also providing education to see where the decision-making is going.
I've had some clients in the past where the other, like the client I was coaching, they had their spouse was also kind of like their second eye. Mm. And they believed that person was accurate too. And I get like, hey, that person's following you every day. They see you wake up. So maybe they do have a trained eye. But that was like an important part of like this relationship dynamic, like including them in that. So a lot of times like that spouse feedback was in the check-in. And I think some coaches might get really frustrated with that, but you might not understand that that was important for like, at least like this couple to include it. So it's like, hey, you don't need to put that in there. Like, I don't care what your wife has to say. Like, no, like, oh, hey, whatever, you're Sally. Man, she caught it that time. I can see that in the pics here as well. And so they're like, both kind of feel involved that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like a validation thing for the other, you know, person as well. And so they're kind of included, but harmless. You know, it doesn't change what I'm doing. So I think if it's harmless in that sense, it's okay to like allow it to happen. But I think when it's crossing the line, like you said, where things are getting implemented without checking with you, then what are you even doing? Right. You're not really the coach anymore.
Yeah.
Someone else is coaching you.
That's when I step in pretty aggressively. And just from a communication standpoint too, like this can be a tough dynamic to manage. Always default to verbal / Loom video / something that can be expressive and see like how you're communicating. Because when you're laying logic out, it can come across a little crass via text. So just like walking people through that via that, it's just a one little like thing that's that next step that kind of really helps with people continuing down that process of executing. But I think that covers that one pretty well. Is there anything else you would add to that before we moved on to coach number two you fire?
No, let's hit coach number two, which for this one is going to be your fellow competitors or training partners or friends. So I'm sure a few ladies out there might have that group chat where everyone's check-in picks go in one big bucket. We're all get their comments and totally get it, but that can be fine. However, a lot of times there's also followed up with a lot of opinions as well. Especially if like, you know, you have training partners or friends that are also at a competitive level that's the same as you or higher. There's like a trust in further validation of the opinion that might even you feel that is along the same lines of the level of your coach. And so I've had that brought back to me as well. Hey, my friend IFBB Pro said, this is how I'm looking. I'm sure you've had that happen.
Oh yeah. I'm going to let you keep going down this soapbox because we've both had this happen.
Yeah. And so that's a frustrating one because you do have a lot of opinions that are out there where someone feels like, hey, they say I'm not on track. And that's one that I've come across, especially when the competitor already is not sure of themselves. And I think where I pick that up is making sure I lay out for the client, like, and this is usually newer clients where I haven't prepped them before, that they need more reassurance along the way and kind of like comparisons for where progress is and where we're moving to and that they are on track. And maybe it's different for their last prep. And you might need to explain why it's different for their last prep because, hey, I'm not dropping as fast as the rate that like I did last time. And, It's like, well, you're a lot leaner this time. That's why we're not having to go as aggressive. Or you feel better this time, right? That's right, because we're not having to drive as much fatigue by creating such a large deficit. So those comparisons are needed, and that reassurance for that type of client where they're trying to get validation from a lot of different resources, like their friends or their training partners. But it just is only going to make it more of a mental struggle for you, getting lots of different opinions, because everyone that's done anything remotely, been to a bodybuilding show or competed in one, they're going to have an opinion about it because they know a little bit. They know a little bit, they want to voice it. It's like when you're at the dinner table and everyone's talking about food, right? Everyone's cooked before. So everyone's like, oh, it should add this, or you should have tried it this way or cooked it that way, right? Everyone knows a little bit. So when you have all these cooks in the kitchen, you're going to end up with a shitty outcome for your cookies that you're making or whatever. But same thing goes with like getting all these opinions. Someone's going to have one out there that's going to go against your coach. And then that's going to leave a question in your mind and make you less committed or have doubt. And that less buy-in is going to lead into the actual physical outcome where you're not fully bought into the process, giving your all. Thanks everyone for tuning in to today's podcast. Are you struggling to hit your peak on show day? Feeling lost in the off season? Upgrade your coaching game with J3 University. Our program covers everything from off season to contest prep to peak week, all based from real client results. Along with our comprehensive physique curriculum, you'll also get access to our forums with our J3U team to answer any questions you have and live Q&A sessions to further your coaching and athlete experience. We are the source of education for top IFBB pros and coaches. Join us to elevate the coaching standard at J3 University. Let's get back to today's podcast.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I think it's the same thing as like the relationship setup where it actually increases the psychological stress and then affects physically the athlete. I think it's something where the two that I see happen the most are the training partners, because you're seeing them every day and they're kind of like giving feedback. Oh, you need a refeed because you had like one set that didn't beat the logbook. It's like, well, every other set, you know, was matched or progressed and you just had one bad set with a mental lapse, right? And the training partner input, but the IFBB pro one too, of not only that respect for being at a higher level, but they did it X way, so I should be doing it X way type of thing because it worked for them. That's another one that I see. So I think it's one of those things where if a client is having doubt, I always urge them to ask a question, because like you mentioned in the beginning, I want to be able to lay my logic out, because there is a process to this. Like, I'm not only thinking what has happened, I'm thinking about what am I going to do. And so like it can all kind of stream together. And I think that's kind of a big piece of it. And I think that would kind of cover like the fellow competitors, training partners, all that. Now, is there anything else you would add to that before?
No, I don't think so.
The only thing last thing I see, I just thought of would be like training partners driving extra training, like training partners in all season wanting to do drop sets, rest pause. You're in prep and you're like, oh, you need to train harder. And it's like, that's one that gets really frustrated for me, because then it makes it so hard to manage the fatigue dynamic.
I think just being an athlete too, you need to be mentally ready for anything to come your way. Like, because maybe you don't ask these people for their opinion, but they're going to give it, right? Like you need to strip down after the gym. You're going to do some poses and your friend's there. He's like, man, you look super flat. And you're like, dude, come on, man. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, yeah, you just look smooth and soft today. Like, you have that like blunt asshole friend that's just like that, and it just kills your mojo for the day, kills the vibe. And now you're thinking like, man, am I losing size? Like, then you start getting weighing in your head. Then you look in the mirror, you're trying to find like, oh yeah, like my chest is super flat today. And now you lose all the good stuff that's happening around you. So be ready. Like, someone's going to say something to you like, oh yeah, you look really skinny. Oh, like, right. So even though you could set boundaries for these people, it might going to happen anyway. So just be mentally tough. But I think it does go to like number three, which is other coaches. You hired one coach. Why take on other ones? So we go to, like, for one, it could be sharing your check-ins to a previous coach. Hey, what are your thoughts on this? This is where I'm seeing. What are you seeing? Right? Just to verify your doubts and confirm it. And maybe that's already sent to that old coach in a confirmation bias type of way. Like, man, hey, I'm feeling like I'm a little behind. What do you think about these picks? Be like, yeah, maybe so. Then it's like, oh, let me go back to this other coach and now say, since I've been validated, that I'm running behind. But no one else knows your process of what's going on, right? Like, did you see, like, all the data and all the check-ins and all the plan to say, like, off some one pick? Yeah, you are looking that way. Most people don't have the eye to do that. Like, they need comparison photos side by side and then all the data to look at to really make a good decision. So you're sitting, like, just one check-in, one off. Like, what does that even mean, right?
Yeah, it's bringing in the potential for misguided intentions too, because I think it's not only off the back of, like, confirmation bias to the previous coach, but other coaches trying to look to nab new clients are going to do anything they can to potentially downgrade the other coach and potentially nab a new client through that downgrading of the other coach, especially if there's no relationship between your current coach and the person you're asking. It's like it's a pretty quick, you know, I don't want to say guarantee because not everybody's like that, but there are quite a few that will purposely downgrade the other decision-making without seeing all that data that you had cited. So it's a very slippery slope that, in my opinion, should be avoided at all costs. It's also where I don't even like the split of training coaching and nutrition PD coaching. Like, to me, that's just, it's a slippery slope for the same thing to happen.
Same thing goes with posing coaches. I think that's actually one where I run into the most, because, like, the posing coach will see him, right? And they are saying, like, oh, man, you're looking really tight today or whatever. They give that type of feedback when they're just there to instruct posing. So it, or even the athletes assuming that they might have a bit more of a role than what they do in, like, our other coaching process, the nutrition PED training side, than what they should. So they need to stay in their lane, just like we stay in their lane. Like, clients will ask me, like, what do I think about posing? If they have a posing coach, I want to defer to the posing coach as being, like, the authority in that area, because I don't want to have to do the posing. Mm-hmm. Now, ultimately, I think the coach that is, like, your head coach, if you want to say, like, the ones that is running the nutrition, the training, most of the pretty much the entire plan, should probably have the ultimate say in the posing piece. And I feel like that is one to make the final call. And then we have, like, supportive coaches that are in those other positions, but that supporting coach should never take the head lead role in the final call.
I would 100% agree. I don't think supporting coaches are a bad thing. I think it's a great way if the dynamic works. I just think boundaries get overstepped a lot. And like you said, the main coach should, at the end of the day, always have the final say. So
I think if it's something like that, like, hey, the posing coach should communicate with the main coach before it's running through the athlete, right? That's how, just like, if you had an NFL team and you had, you know, your specialty coaches, your head coach, you know, they're going to collaborate together and then disseminate that to the athletes. And if there was some issue, it's going to first go through the coaches, then back to the athletes. So you always stay in each other's authoritative role and don't undermine each other.
And that's exactly why at J3U Coaching, we have posing coaches on staff. Like, I get a message every day from Daniel about a client of mine he's working with about how well they're doing from a posing perspective or not. So, like, Daniel on the guy side, or even Pam on the bikini wellness side, like, that's the whole reason we have that in-house, is so that pit crew or NFL sideline is there, everybody working towards the same goal of bringing the best, you know, package stage.
Oh yeah. It streamlines it too. Like, it makes our whole, like, coaching approach, not to boast about it, but it makes it really effective, because you don't have that lag in communication where if your coach is out, say, hey, find your local posing coach, or what, you don't have that person. So I would say, if you are a coach yourself, like, try to align yourself with some type of posing coach that could be your main go-to and build that rapport so you can have that dynamic and not have that communication loss, or be, let your client be the middle person in communicating back.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I think some look in the mirror might be the last one that we need to do for the competitor. And maybe your own opinion is not objectively clear.
Yeah, you should fire yourself from coaching. Self coach. This is like in my own backyard. Like, I'm such a hypocrite, you know, now. But I think it's more so even the fact that you can get in your own way a lot, because hell, you're in your own body 24/7, right? So who has the best feedback and the most meticulous tracking of your own self? It is you. The problem is that you might have, like, I don't know, drunk goggles on when you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and everything's going to look a little bit distorted, and you might not be even the most accurate eye, even though you're in your own body. So I think that's when you haven't developed the skill set to be able to give accurate coaching feedback. Mm-hmm. However, I think just collecting the athlete data is still what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I think this can be really hard if you are a coach yourself, to where you want to wear the coaching hat when looking at your own plan, and the feedback you give is as a coach, when really you need to take that hat off, put on the athlete hat, and think in that capacity, and let the coach that take the role that you hired him to do. Otherwise, it does put a lot of doubt. But at the same time, I also have coaches that are really good athletes because of that same reason. They understand what they need feedback wise from their athletes, so they know how to communicate it back. I think it's, if you do have a coach that, and you have an athlete you bring on that is trying to take that coach role, and that you just start communicating and making sure you're clear on, hey, that's type of coaching feedback. I need this type of feedback. Mm-hmm. And you almost need to coach your athlete to be an athlete again and remove themselves a bit. So don't get frustrated with them. Just it's more of a teaching moment that they need help getting back to that point of just executing the plan and making sure that they stay in their own lane, now their own way.
Yeah. I think there's an education level with coaches that can either allow them to be the most communicative or the most clearly communicating client that you have on the roster, or the toughest one to work with because of that dynamic right there. And a lot of it comes down to like the forms and how you ask for feedback back. I've found very, very, very much success with allowing coaches to do short videos, because if you give them a time duration limit, and they just like that 3 minutes and they have to go into it, you're getting their audio for how they're actually feeling. You can really tell week to week kind of how that audio changes, but also it allows them to lay their logic out quicker, and you're actually getting in their head, and it forces them to provide feedback in an athlete format because it needs to be short and succinct rather than, you know, going into this long coaching explanation. So I found a lot of success with that with former coaches.
I would be so hard. I almost feel like I'm so uncoachable now.
You're good. You ask me for feedback and take it on pretty easily.
Yeah, I'm just stubborn. Like, if I had a coach, like, I would have to have – they would have to really show the logic there. And because I would go through such an intense logic of what I would want to do, mm-hmm. and if it would be against that, oh, it would be tough. I'd have to really just – someone to teach me and show me. And also just have someone that through the experience I could even undoubtedly trust, even if there wasn't logic there, like, hey, just, I know I implement this when I'm seeing this and it does work. Let's try this. And I just, you that through like respect of this coach that has that much experience, I would do it, even though if the logic isn't quite lined up. But I think that's where, even for coaches out there, like, if you're going to hire a coach, make sure it's someone that you would have the utmost respect for and could execute the plan without even questioning them at times where you might not see the way you would do it, you know?
Yep. 100%. I agree.
But let's, I think we can round this out of what do you actually do? So you have these four coaches, they're all in the background, and maybe you should just be committed to your one coach, but that doesn't mean you have to nix them all out of your life, because there's ways that we just really need to, for one, prioritize your own coaching relationship, right? Like, that's your number one go-to for anything prep, off-season, physique related. Your coach is the first person you go to with that, and first person you ask for opinions. When you have doubts, that's the first person you go to. I think if you execute it that way, it can really help clear out a lot of the noise that might be around you. And if you think about, like, even, you know, some of the guru coaches out there, right? Coaching your whatever, your top five Olympians. Like, what do you see about these guys that makes their coaching so effective? Is that those guys have really close relationships. Like, they're like best friends tied together. That's going to be the main person that's in their ear and the first person that they go to. And that strong relationship and trust is what makes them even better. So that's what you want to try to establish with your coach. With all these other individuals, it's absolutely fine. You should have people in your life, but you just need to set your boundaries, boundaries for yourself of what you're asking of others. So don't ask them something you'd bring, ask for your coach. I think if you have supportive roles and you have all your hype ladies and hype guys around, absolutely fine. But if there's that one that always just crosses the line a bit, maybe that's not your hype guy, right? You want people that are there to like support you and back you and not tear you down in any way. But also just keep in mind that even a hype man, that's what they are. They're not the feedback guy, right? So you don't look for them to validate you're on track. Like, oh man, you're peeled. You're going to go beat everybody. That's a hype man. That's, you know, the feedback's going to be inaccurate. Then within that same line is tighten your circle up. So keep in very close, just the closest people to you. Like, if I had a coach, it would be coach that I have Luke is like a second eye, and I have Renee. Like, that's my circle. I get everyone telling me like, oh, John, you look great. A few people say, John, you look fucking terrible. You should quit. But I have my couple people, and those are my main ones. So the circle's tight within that. And then just remind yourself, be the athlete, not the coach, right? You don't need to do that. Take that stress off yourself. Just execute and deliver to your coach what you need. And ask your coach, how can I be a better competitor? Like, what feedback do I need to be telling you that I'm not? Or what am I telling you that I shouldn't be telling you? And I'm sure they'll be open. So if you just humble yourself and just try to be a better client, don't make assumptions that what they've laid out for you for a check-in process is everything they might need, or assumptive about that you are doing everything you need, because they might be doing the same thing. So just try to open those lines of communication anymore. Do you have anything else to add on that, Luke, about like what to actually do around these situations?
No, I mean, I think you kind of hit them to a T. I think obsess over executing the day-to-day and like leaving that trust in the person you hired is the best, simplest way to put it. Like, the more you can just like, and I use this term like, or this phrase of speed with the day-to-day, or high expectations of the day-to-day, but patience with the process, because you need to implement and execute at a very high clip on the everyday to see the long-term outcome. And so I think if you just buy into that like urgency with the day-to-day and that patience with the process, it really just simplifies it so much.
Well, that sounds good. So I hope everyone has their coaches that they're going to go and just fire today. tell us below, who's your worst coach that you have that is not your actual coach that you hired? Maybe it's that guy in the gym that just keeps wanting to coach you and gives you all the shitty feedback you hate to hear. Yeah. I know I have that guy. So anyway, thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.